Shalom, y'all. Just want to welcome you to this week's teaching. We are so glad that you have joined us. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah. And it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. And for that very reason, we're going to get into his word and we're going to see what he has in store for us this week. You know, we are still reading in the book of Deuteronomy, and we are actually going to be in chapter 16 this week, and we're going to start with verse 16. This day, Yahweh your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed Yahweh to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also, today, Yahweh has proclaimed to you to be his special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to Yahweh your God, just as he has spoken. Now, in this passage, Yahweh is actually going to be leading the second generation of Israel that has come out of the land of Egypt into Israel. Remember, the first generation did not enter into the promised land because they believed the report of the evil spies, and they chose not to go and inherit the land, but instead fell victim to the bad report of the fear of the giants of the land and the strong cities that existed inside the land. And so they chose not to go into the land, and they chose instead a life of unbelief, you would say. They did not believe the promise that Yahweh had told them, and so they would not enter into a promised land. Scripture tells us that they had disbelief, that they had disobedience, their rebellion, their stubbornness. That's pretty much what the first generation walked in as they walked through the wilderness, and we read through it in the Torah. And because of this, Israel, the first generation that had come out of Egypt, did not enter into the promised land. Now remember, the first generation of Israel had entered into covenant at Mount Sinai when the Torah, or you could say the law, was given to Israel. Yahweh comes and he presents the Torah to Israel, and they said, we agree to this, we will follow it, we will walk in it. And it was at that moment that Israel entered into covenant with Yahweh. It was very similar to a husband and a wife standing at a altar. When they say their vows, they both stand there and they agree to their end of the covenant of what they're going to do in the marital vows. And so that's what Israel had done at Mount Sinai. And now we see in this passage that the second generation is going through a very similar process. Remember, the book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the Torah, or of the law. It is Moses is going over the law for the second time to this next generation. So as they are about to enter into the promised land, he is giving them the instructions of which Yahweh had given Moses to the first generation. Now he is passing it along to this second generation. And they, at this moment in time, we can see by this verse, it says that they have agreed to walk in his ways. They have agreed to follow his commandments, to follow his judgments, or we could say they have agreed to follow the Torah. So they have entered into covenant with Yahweh here. So that's what we read here in this first passage. And if we think about this, you know, when we become believers in Yeshua, that's what we are actually doing. We are coming into a covenant relationship with Yeshua and with his father, Yahweh. This covenant relationship is two sides agreeing to the terms of their covenant. So in this passage, we get a brief glimpse of what that is. Number one, our end of the covenant is pretty much to walk in his ways. It is to be a people who keep all of his commandments. That is our end of the covenant. His end of the covenant is that he is going to be our God. And part of that is he says that he will set us, or he sets them, above all nations. And so what he does is he says, I will make you a holy people. So what he does to us is he makes us a holy people, or he makes us set apart from the world. Now, the very thing that sets us apart from the world is the very fact that we are following his commandments. So that's what we have done. When we have entered into belief with Yeshua, we have entered into covenant. We have not entered into a relationship that is void of covenant, that is void of responsibilities. We have responsibilities, and so does God. And part of his responsibilities is that he will be our God, meaning that when we are in covenant with him, he will be our healer. He will be our provider. He will be our deliverer. He will be the mighty one for us. So we can call upon him and know that he hears us and he is there for us. But we don't get to pull from the benefits of this relationship while we sit back and do nothing and just proclaim to say that we believe a certain way. But we have our responsibilities of walking in his ways. You know, and that's one of the things that Shavuot is about. Every year, we celebrate the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And it was at that moment in time at Shavuot that he gave the Torah to Israel at Mount Sinai. So you could say every year we, as believers in Yeshua, re-go through this process through his Spirit. And we're going to talk about the role of the Spirit later, but through his Spirit, we kind of re-up this covenant. We refresh, we remind ourselves of this covenant that we have entered into with Yahweh when we believed upon Yeshua as our Savior, as our Redeemer. So now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 1. Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which Yahweh your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which Yahweh your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as Yahweh, God of your fathers, promised you. Therefore, it shall be, when you have crossed over to Jordan, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones, which I command you today. And you shall whitewash them with lime, and you shall build an altar to Yahweh your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones the altar of Yahweh your God, and offer burnt offerings on it to Yahweh your God. You shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before Yahweh your God. And you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. So here in this very next passage of scripture, I mean, these are the verses following the fact that Israel has entered into covenant with Yahweh. And he is speaking and instructing them on setting up these stones in the land, and that they shall write the law on these stones, and they shall set them up as soon as they cross over the river, the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is the same river that Abraham would cross over when he left the land of his fathers, and he left the ways of his fathers. Scripture says he left the pagan ways of his father and he crossed over to Jordan into the promised land, the land that he was going to give Abraham, his generations to come after him. And it was the moment that he crossed over the Jordan River that he became a Hebrew. He left the ways of his father to now walk in the ways of Yahweh. You know, Scripture speaks of Abraham, and it says that he was a person who walked in the instructions, in the law, in the Torah of Yahweh. So Abraham became a new person. He adopted, he walked in the ways of Yahweh upon crossing over that river. So now as Israel is going to cross over the same river, they are leaving Egypt behind and they are coming into the promised land to worship Yahweh. And as soon as they come over this river where they're crossing over from their former behavior and into their new way of living, to their new life. Now remember, we as believers in Yeshua or a new creation, we have been called to put aside, to put away the former behaviors of our past, to now walk in a new way, as a new creation in Yeshua Messiah. Well, what is that new way we are to walk in? It is to walk in covenant with Yahweh, and we walk in covenant with Yahweh by adhering and obeying his Torah. So as soon as they crossed over, he's instructing them to build a monument. That's how I'm going to call it. To put up these large stones. And these stones were to have the Torah, the law, plainly written on these stones. Now, when I think of what would be the purpose of these stones, well, number one, I think it is important and symbolic about the fact that it's right there after they crossed over that river. So the second that we cross over, and as we begin to walk in this new life, we need to have these stones set up in our life. We need to now begin the process of learning his law, his Torah, of reading his Torah, reading his law, and learning his ways and beginning to learn how to walk in his ways. And it was to be written plainly. It was to be easily read. You know, I could see this as a place to where Israel could go and they could read the stones. Each and every person would have the ability to go and read his Torah, to learn his Torah without having to be taught by somebody else. They could have access to it. And it was to be written plainly. I believe, you know, the scripture actually speaks and says that the Torah is simple. It's simple. It's easy to understand. Religion has made it this more complicated thing than what it really is. Yahweh wrote it and gave it to Moses for it to be a simple thing for people to be able to read and understand and follow. Now, what makes it hard to follow the Torah is not the fact that it's hard to understand, but it's our fleshly nature. It's the fleshly desires that live inside of us that we were born with. That is what is difficult. That's what makes it difficult, walking in his Torah. And he has given us something to help us defeat the fleshly desires of our body. And we will talk about that in a bit. But so I see these stones as something that people just simply go and read and understand. And, you know, we live in a place now where, in a time where, you know, hallelujah, every person can easily, for the most part, can grab a Bible and be able to read the Bible and learn and read his word and understand his Torah and begin to apply this Torah, this law, into their hearts and into their minds and into their life. Because it's got to first get into our hearts before we're ever going to see it in our behavior and in the ways that we walk. So his word is easily accessible to us, but I also see it kind of as a memorial, something to remind the children of Israel about his Torah, about the instructions which he has given them to do. You know, last week we talked about the tzitzits, or the tassels, that Israel was instructed to wear. And I had made a comment about how we need to do whatever it takes in our lives to remember his Torah, to have his Torah on our minds, to have his instructions in our hearts, to be mindful of how we are to treat people, how we are to love people, how we are to love him, how we are to walk in his ways and not according to the ways of this world, not according to the fleshly desires that dwell inside of us, but to put those things, our fleshly desires, to the side, to walk in his Torah, to walk in his way. So it serves as that memorial. So we need to do whatever it takes to remember his word. Wearing tzitzits, wearing tassels, but let's not just stop there. Let's do whatever it takes to be mindful of his word, because you can wear them and still not be mindful of his word. So we want to be people who are mindful and meditate upon his word at all times. Now, in this Torah portion, now this is the portion where he instructs half of the leaders to go on Mount Ebal and half the leaders to go on Mount Gerizim. One side is going to pronounce the blessings that would come if the children of Israel was to walk in obedience to the Torah which was given them. On the other mount, they would pronounce the curse that would come if Israel did not follow the Torah which was given. Yahweh would instruct Israel. He would say, "Today I put before you life or death, blessings or curse." And then he tells them to choose life. He tells them the right answer. So we as people, we have a choice. And every day we have a choice to choose blessing and to choose curse, to choose life or to choose death. The result of disobedience to his word and to his Torah, and it applies to the whole world. Disobedience to his word, the result of that is a curse, and it's ultimately death. Obedience produces life, long life, blessings that follow. But see, we have all been born into sin. We have all disobeyed at some point in time. So we were all underneath the curse. And so there had to be an answer sent to deal with the fact that we were all underneath the curse. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and read in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 9. And I want to read this portion here, which is going to talk about the curse that comes from disobeying the Torah of Yahweh. "Then Moses and the priest and the Levite spoke to all Israel, saying, 'Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of Yahweh your God. Therefore, you shall obey the voice of Yahweh your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today.' And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, 'These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When you have crossed over to Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, and these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali. And the Levite shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to Yahweh, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. And all the people shall say, amen. So I read through all of them there. And some of these, or you could say most of these, people would look at and say, yeah, I agree with these things that being said there. These are very wicked. These are very bad things. These are things that we as believers in Yeshua should definitely abstain from. But it ends with what I call a general curse. It is a curse to the one who does not confirm, or you could say does not do all of the law. So meaning that even if you break one little law, the tiniest law or instruction of the Torah, you are cursed. Well, what does Paul tell us? We are all sinners. At some point in time, we have all broken his law. So we all deserved the curse. We all deserve to be under the curse. We all deserved death. We could not and we cannot uphold the law perfectly on our own. To the person who tries to follow all of the instructions of Yahweh and tries to boast that they completely follow his Torah and they do not possess a belief in Yeshua, that person is a liar and they are still under the curse. So, like I said, there needed to be an answer sent for us because we were guilty of breaking his Torah. Even the smallest of his instructions meant the curse and ultimately death. So Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Messiah Yeshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what is Paul saying here? He first off talks about this very concept of what we just read in this last passage. What cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things written in the book of the law. Or cursed is anyone who has broken any part of the Torah. You are cursed because you have broken the Torah. So we cannot be justified, or we cannot be declared right. We cannot be declared innocent before God based upon our own actions. Because our actions do not speak of us being innocent. Our actions speak of the fact that we are guilty. So to the person who is trying to be innocent and trying to show that they are in right standing, or they are innocent or justified by their acts and by their behavior, that person is still underneath the curse. Because in order to be justified, in order to be declared right, we must have faith in the one who has redeemed us. So obedience is not a bad thing. Obedience is a good thing. Obedience to the Torah is what sets us apart. But that obedience must stem from faith first. Because faith is the very thing that justifies us. And then our obedience is the very thing that sets us apart. So we live by faith. So our obedience flows forth from us living a life of faith. But see, our faith isn't just a life of faith and that's it. Our life of faith is believing in Messiah and setting up those stones. We talked about the stones that they wrote the Torah on. So in our faith, and believing in Yeshua and the fact that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, we set up those stones and we begin to learn his law, his Torah. We begin to put it within our hearts. We take it from being this written thing on these outward stones and on this outward page of a Bible, and we begin to write it upon our hearts inside of us and upon our minds. And then it begins to flow out of our lives. And then we begin to show the fruits of set apartness to the nations around us. It says Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law. So he redeemed us from the fact that we deserved a curse and that we were underneath this curse, absent from the blessing. So the thing that comes from having belief in Yeshua is that the curse has been removed and now we're able to walk in his blessings. But that does not mean that we continue to live a life of sin. Because if we continue to live a life of sin, we will not see the blessings that come from obedience. Our belief in Yeshua does not give us a license to sin, but it makes us free to walk in obedience to his word, to receive his blessings. Redemption. That's what redemption's all about. No longer underneath the power of sin, but now we are underneath the power of righteousness, or you could say underneath the power of obedience to his word. Paul tells us in Romans, you are a slave to the one you obey. So if you want to know who you're serving, if you want to know who your master is, just take a moment and stop and look and see, who are you obeying? Are you obeying your flesh? Or are you obeying the Torah? Are you walking in the ways of Yahweh? He has redeemed us, set us free. So now we are free to walk in His ways. We are free to receive the promise of His Spirit. And it's by His Spirit that we are able to walk in obedience to His Word. We put our faith in Yeshua. He cleanses us. He gives us a new heart. He forgives us of all of our sin, of all of our uncleanness, of all of our wickedness. If the big sins that we did, the major trespasses against Yahweh's word, and all the way down to even the smallest, most minute detail of the Torah, He has forgiven us of breaking those commandments. And He has set us free from that curse that was upon us. He has taken the power of sin off of our life. And He has put His Spirit inside of us, which gives us the power now to walk in obedience to His word. So by His Spirit, we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and we can walk in the gifts of the Spirit. We as believers of Yeshua in this time and age, we need to be praying and we need to be learning each and every day what it means to walk in the fruit of His Spirit and in the gifts of the Spirit. And it's interesting, when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he also talks about the fruit or the deeds of the flesh. So on one hand, we had the deeds of our flesh, and then we had the fruit of the Spirit on the other hand. So we're either walking in one or the other. You're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. And in walking in the Spirit, you're actually walking in obedience to His word. So that's going to bring me to our next passage, which is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he is not his. And if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So, first verse here, there is no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua. This is speaking of the fact that we put our belief in Yeshua. The condemnation is gone. That curse is gone. Okay, but what does this verse go on to say? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So now I have put my belief in Yeshua, but there is something else that now has to follow after I have put my faith in Yeshua Messiah. And that is to walk according to the Spirit, not according to my flesh. We as believers in Yeshua, that is our end of the covenant. This to walk according to the Spirit, not according to our flesh. And when we study Romans chapter 7, we can see Paul says that the Torah or the law is spiritual. So to walk according to the Spirit is actually to walk in obedience to his law or his Torah. Our flesh is always going to wage war against the Torah. It does not want to submit itself to the Torah of Yahweh. It naturally wants to rebel against his word, against his Torah, against his law. It doesn't want to submit. So we as believers have to continually, every day, crucify, put to death our flesh so that we do not walk according to that flesh, that part of our body that is at war against the Torah of Yahweh. But we need to submit our lives to his Spirit. And when we submit our lives to his Spirit is going to lead us in obedience to his word, to his Torah. It says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, for it was weak through the flesh, meaning the Torah could not make a person submit. It could not empower a person to submit to the Torah of Yahweh. But the Spirit of God can come inside of a person and it can enable that person, empower that person to crucify their flesh and to walk in obedience to Yahweh's word. The Spirit is not at war with the Torah. The Spirit goes hand in hand with the Torah. And in fact, the Spirit is going to lead us and guide us through a process in our lifetime through the things of his Torah. And what does it say? It says here in verse 4, he gives us his Spirit so that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled. That is the purpose of his Spirit, that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in each and every single believer. It is why you have his Spirit, so that you can walk in obedience to his word. So you can walk in the fruit of the Spirit, right? So you can walk in the fruit of the Spirit and also in the gifts of the Spirit. Because part of the righteous requirement of the law is to be a witness to the nations of the world, to be a prophet of Yahweh to the nations of the world, to go into the world proclaiming Yeshua, proclaiming his gospel, proclaiming his death and resurrection, and the need for them to repent of their sin. So in order to do that, and in order to be that witness, we also need the gifts of his Spirit. We are called to be his body, to function in unity, to advance his kingdom in this world. And in order to advance his kingdom in this world, we also need to walk in the gifts of his Spirit. So his Spirit is there. He gives us his gift and his fruit so that we can fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. His Spirit's not there for us to do whatever we desire to do on our own. The Spirit's not there for us to follow the desires of our own hearts, because the desires of our own hearts are wicked. It's fleshly, and it will lead us astray. So what do we need to be? We need to be a people who set our minds on the things of the Spirit. If we're going to submit our lives to the Spirit, if we're going to walk according to the Spirit, then we need to set our minds on the Spirit. We need to learn to take control of what goes on between our two ears. We need to learn to put aside the fleshly and carnal-minded thoughts, and to replace them with spiritual thoughts. Because if we are carnally minded, we cannot be spiritually minded. And if we're carnally minded, we are going to be walking as an enemy in strife against Yahweh and against His Torah. We are not going to be living a life that is subjected to His Torah or His Word because we are carnally minded. So we need to renew our minds. And we renew our minds through His Word. That's why it's important to read His Word, to study His Word. Remember, I talked about the plaster, the rocks, as they came across the Jordan River with the law written on it. How it's important for us as new believers to learn His Word, to dive into His Word and read His Word. And even if you're not a new believer, every day we need to continually be learning His Word. And why are we learning His Word? So that we can renew our minds. It's through reading His Word that we renew our minds and we wash our hearts. We cleanse our hearts. So be a person who reads His Word not to gain knowledge, not to be one to be able to win a theological argument or debate, but be a person who reads the Word in humility and in submission to the Spirit to see what it is that you need to learn so that you can cleanse your heart, so that you can renew your mind, so that His Word can be written upon your heart and upon your mind. That is the purpose of spending time in His Word. If you do not have a faith in Yeshua, if you have not been filled with His Spirit, you can simply just pray a prayer right where you are. If you are in that state where you are still under the curse of the law and hearing this teaching, you're thinking, man, you know, I am cursed and I am bound and I'm on my way to death, to spending eternity in hell. And you feel the conviction of the Spirit in you. And you say, you know what? I want to know what it means. I want to know how I can be blessed and be free from this curse. Well, it starts with a very simple process where you're at. Just crying out to Him and asking and saying, Yeshua, I believe that You died upon that cross for me. That You, the innocent one, became a curse for me. And You died upon that tree, on that cross. And 3 days later, You resurrected from that grave and You live forevermore. So you put your belief in Him. You ask Him to forgive you of all your sins, to cleanse you of all your unrighteousness, of all your uncleanness and your wickedness. And He is faithful to do that. And not only will He forgive you, but He will separate it from you. For as far as the east is from the west, He does not hold on to it. He is not counting it against you anymore. And then ask Him to immerse you in His Spirit. Because now with His Spirit living inside of you, you are no longer dead in your sin, but you are alive unto righteousness. His Spirit is living in you. Dive into His Word, learn His Word, learn His Torah, learn His ways, and learn what it means to walk in obedience to His Word. And His Spirit that is living inside of you, He will bring life to you. His Spirit will raise your spiritual man. He will bring life to that spiritual man in you. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you. And He will convict you and bring instruction in your life so that you can fulfill righteousness in your life. And to us who are believers already, let's continue to be immersed in His Spirit. Continue to submit ourselves to His Spirit each and every day. To search out the things in our lives that still are not in subjection to His law and in His Torah. To search those things out to learn what they are, to repent of those things, so that we, through his Spirit, might be able to say that all righteousness has been fulfilled in our life. That is our goal, is to be completely 100% submitted unto his word, walking in obedience to his word, set apart for the world to see our Heavenly Father, our God, Yahweh, in and through us. Well, hallelujah. I am so glad that you have joined us this week for this teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. We hope that you come back and you join us. So come back next week. And shalom, y'all.